Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should get your Bibles out tonight. Galatians chapter 4. I was, you just kind of have those moments sometimes when you're getting out of my car yesterday morning, and anytime I begin to feel down a little bit, you just start thinking about how blessed you really are. It'll get you out of that valley pretty quick. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I ain't sick today. Wife's not sick. Children ain't sick. Car works. Got a job to drive to. Got a house that's warm, and I am blessed. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. And beyond all that natural, I've got a mind. I've got a sanity that the world don't even know. I'm not saying my mind. I mean the mind of Christ. Right. I've got a hope. I've got a peace. I've got a love that the world don't know nothing about. I don't know. Maybe you can say amen, but I can't.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. As I've told you before, your amens will never offend Brother Andrew. Galatians chapter 4. We got the joy tonight? Man, you start feeling down. You get singing those songs and believing what you're singing. Drives all that right out of you. That's right. Galatians 4. Everybody there? Can you say amen? Amen. God bless each one that can make it out tonight. And bless those that aren't here and wanted to be. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Still talking about the originals returned. I like to preach the triumphal capstone. That makes sense here in a minute. The triumphal capstone. Let's bow our heads together. Let's just give our lives to Him as we approach His Word. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for first all the blessings you've given to us. Lord, you've come. You've taken our souls, Lord. You redeemed us back to yourselves, Lord. And I've just got words to share, but God, it doesn't do anything unless you come and anoint these words and make it life to our souls. May the words of a man become the words of God as God would speak through my voice tonight. I yield myself to you. I have no thought coming, no thought going. May it be the Word of God. May it come and feed every Christian that's here tonight. May anyone that might listen later on, may the Holy Ghost bring this Word to the elect wherever they might be. We're just throwing the seed out in faith, believing, Lord, that you'll get the Word to every elect. I pray you'll take over this service tonight, that you'll cast away our things of the world, our cares of this life, that all of it fade away. We wouldn't worry about tomorrow. May we redeem the time tonight and be found faithful soldiers of the cross at our post of duty, Lord. As the prophet said, if you were coming tomorrow, I'd still want to be behind the pulpit doing what God told me to do. Bless each one that's here, I pray. Speak through your word. Heal us, Lord. Save us, deliver us, and mold us into your very image, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord God. Are you hungry tonight for the Word? Amen. Well, just as much as you're hungry, that's how much you'll get filled up. You know, we try to put things too much, I think, on God or on others, why we don't have this or why we don't have that. It's your expectation. That's the only thing that can ever go wrong. God's got more than enough to give you, and He even told the prophet to store it up to make sure we had enough for the rest of the time that we would be here, and it's here for us to eat. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it just takes a nice hand of faith to reach up and grab that word and then stick it in our mouth and swallow it down.
Amen.
I don't care if you don't like carrots, they're good for you. Eat them. That's right. And I don't care if you don't know, if you don't think you like the word, devil tell you it don't taste good. Brother Andrew's just saying that because he's a grumpy old pastor. I don't care what the devil's got to say. If you know it's the word of God, get a hold of it and chew it down.
Right.
Amen. Now I'm here tonight, you know, after I felt like I beat the snot out of you on Sunday. But hey, it's the truth anyhow. That's right. I believe we need to get to the point that we know that we've got a revelation. We can find it from Genesis to Revelation. The devil can't take it from us. He can't talk us out of it. He can't quote us out of it. He can't, you know, find somebody that's been around longer and talk us out of it that way either. We've got a revelation that we know what's truth.
Amen.
We know what God has given us, and no devil in hell is going to take it away.
Amen.
Now, what I'm talking about today is a triumphal capstone. And I like to talk about that word triumph for just a little bit. We'll get back to our scripture here. I'm going a little bit away and we'll come back trusting the Lord tonight. To triumph means a great or important victory. A great success or achievement. The very happy and joyful feeling that comes from victory or success. So if we're talking about somebody that's actually got this triumph that I'm talking about tonight, it ought to cause a joy. It ought to cause a peace. It ought to cause us to be able to praise our God with all our hearts, without waiting for some emotion, but to be a son of God. A son of God was back there when Job saw him. And they were all shouting for joy. Why? They had a revelation that though we'll come and sin, I've already been redeemed. Before there was a world, they saw the plan. Oh, glory to God. And if you can get a revelation tonight that that was you, that that was me, that the same feeling we get here just by hearing, oh my, what a trickle of the world we have compared to what will be in the world to come. We've got a shadow of a shadow of a shadow. And if you can yield to that part of you that just can't help but praise God. I don't feel like saying amen. For some reason, I am. I don't feel like praising. For some reason, I just have to. Don't let the devil tell you're being fake. Tell him that you were fake when you tried not to.
Yeah.
Identify with the Word of God. I am a son of God, and I was shouting for joy since the foundation of the world. And I'm going to keep doing it.
Amen.
How long? Forever. Woo! Going to preach tonight. I'm talking about a victory. I'm talking about something that wasn't just a, you know, well, we barely scraped it through. We spoiled the enemy. Just like Egypt, they didn't have to lift a finger, and God went all the way through there, and they whipped them so bad, they didn't have to do anything. God whipped that enemy so bad, they were kicking them out and saying, take our stuff, we don't even care. That's how I want the devil when this comes down to its end. I want him kicking me out the door. Said, fine, take your Holy Ghost. Take your joy. Take your peace. Just get out of my hair. And I ain't talking a fairy tale. I mean a real devil and me having a real revelation and me being a real son of God that's really going to trample his head under my feet. And I'm doing it now. I'm not going to wait till then. I'm going to do it tonight. I don't care what my flesh has got to say. I'll tell you right now, for some reason, this thing's feeling tired. I don't care. Preacher can't take the night off. Neither should you feel that way either. Well, I'm kind of tired. I'll just let Brother John do all the amen. I'll just pray extra hard for him. No, I'm done with that. People that tell me, you know, I get blessed just by watching somebody be blessed. Well, you ought to, but you might want to get a little bit of that yourself.
Amen.
You might be creating an idol. Come on now. Don't worship somebody else's worship. You get the real thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To where it's really you and God. And there ain't nothing else around. It don't matter no more. You just fill to the Holy Ghost. And you can't help it. Because where he is, there's a lot of noise.
Amen.
And not just fake put on. I'm talking people that appreciate this God that's in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm talking about a victory tonight. Now here, let's just go through this scripture now. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant.
Now, the scripture is, thus saith the Lord. You can't get around it. It's the way it is. The word is the absolute. So, though you identify as a son, I'm here to tell you, you're still a little baby child. You don't differ nothing from a servant. You're still just like everyone else in the world. You're still under bondage. Though you are a son, and there's nothing you can do to stop it, you're going to be a servant until you grow up. And why? The word says it. There's nothing you can do to get around it. And I'll get to a minute here where none of us should identify with that anymore if you've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be, not he will become,
right,
though he be the Lord of all. Many kings look down at their children and, you know, they wouldn't be able to say he's the Lord of all, but he is. Josiah, at the age of 8, was the Lord of all. Come on now. Some other kings, I think, were 18 and things like that. How many of you would have thrown a whole nation underneath their feet and said, do what you want to, boy? But see, that's how much confidence they had in the word. The son of David ought to reign in Israel. He's only 8. I don't care. I'm going to stay with the word. Hallelujah. Well, what's going on, preacher? He's only this. I'm 28. You got 20 years on that guy. Would you rather have a preacher that's 8 years old? All right, you might think I'm young, but I ain't too young just yet. David was younger than me when he slew Goliath. Come on now. Jeremiah was younger than me when God told him, go preach.
Amen.
Go tell them they're living in sin. And he said, Lord, I'm just a child. How am I going to do this? And he tried to get out of it. What happened? He was laying there in bed. He's just like fire in his bones. If I don't do it, I'm going to blow up, Lord. And that's the will of God to a Christian. You might as well just go ahead and do what he says. Amen. Though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now look, I'll get to that here in a minute. We're not talking about the Holy Ghost tutor at this point, because you'll read in the next verse. Read it in the next verse now. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So what is he talking about? Before we were converted, we were still sons. But we were servants under a taskmaster of the devil. He had power over us because we came into the world by sin, and the devil's allowed to rule where sin is. He's allowed, because God is holy. He is not sinful. He is a holy God, and how happy we ought to be that God was able to get into me. That shows that I'm holy now. That's right. That's how important it is to know you got the Holy Ghost. But when I was in the world, and I'll read it here in a minute, I couldn't be identified as a son. I looked just like everyone else. I talked just like everyone else. And they think they're just talking, but they're really under a taskmaster who makes them talk that way. And they can prove over and over and over again that if you talk negative, you'll get negative, and prove the spoken word, which we all believe. But yet, they can't get a revelation to get out of it because they're not sons. And they stay servants. And so is the Christian that doesn't get to the Holy Ghost. He'll act the same way. He has to drink like those guys. He talks like them. But yet, in the whole time, he's still a son. You can never get away from it. Thank you, Lord. So we were under the elements of the world. We had tutors and governors. We had, and really, they were just beating us over the head, telling us we're wrong, 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 wrong. You're never going to be saved. You're serpent seed. You're a waste of time. You see what you said about the prophet here, or how you turned away for this little period of time here, and he'll get you all this big picture on why you ain't never going to come. But then something happens. I love that word in the Bible, don't you? When it says, but. And most people stop before they get to that word. Look, if God makes a clause, you need to find out what that clause was. And if it's good, you might as well get into it. Might be simple, but I'm going to tell you, this will preach. Just give me a second. But when the fullness of time was come, what does that mean? That means that God got sick and tired of waiting. The fullness of time. Remember, when God set up the world plan, it was the beginning to end. He hasn't changed a bit. He knew it from start to finish. And there was a day where he knew, I'm done with this right here. We're changing things at this point right here.
Right. Amen.
Because there were sons of God since the beginning of the world. Adam was called the son of God. We go down, and Seth was in his likeness, which if he's a son, he's a son of God as well, and Abraham, and all the way down. Yet, what was it about them that God was not pleased with is though they were sons, they were still under bondage and looked like everyone else. Abraham, the father of faith. Isn't that right? Yet, when he got under pressure, he did what every other man would have done logically. Ooh, these men probably want my wife. I don't want to die today. So just tell them you're my sister. Why? He could not express a son of God at that point because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. And we go through every one. Every one of them's got a mark somewhere. And we think they don't, but they really do. Joseph told his family to lie. He says, tell them you're not shepherds. Tell them you're cattle, or because a shepherd's an abomination. I pray you're looking for the Holy Ghost tonight, not Brother Andrew to tell you what we're talking about. You go right on down the line. David, a man after God's own heart, yet he goes and kills a man. And I can't even stand to think of that situation in real life. We would have thrown him out of the church. We wouldn't have gave David a day's time in most legalistic people of this day, but the grace of God stretched out. And the word of the Lord came, and David had the right attitude. That's right. That's the main thing that's the problem with most people. They can't get enough grace to realize that without God's grace, they'd be dead anyways. David could remember the time when he was a little boy and he stole from his buddy, and he realized that every sin's just as bad as the other, and if I've offended in one point, I've offended in all. So if I accept grace for that, I can accept grace for this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As bad as that was. But every one of them, though they were sons of God, they could not express their sonship. They had nothing in them at that time. They had a seed, but no quickening.
Amen.
And we say, man, I wish I could be David. Wouldn't have been great to be David. Wouldn't it be great to be Joshua? Fight in the camp of Israel. And we all know Joshua made a mistake too, didn't he? He went and made that league with the Gibeonites, and he wasn't supposed to. There's a mark on every one of them. Don't you worry. But I've heard people say, Samuel. What did they tell Samuel? Your sons don't walk in the way you do. Kind of hindered a little bit there in the father department. And that's right. He's still a prophet of the Lord. He's still a son of God. He still came up when Christ did. Glory to God. That's right. But yet, in his life, we knew they were looking for something. They kept waiting for a promise, waiting for a promise. And what was it? It's this capstone I'm talking about. It's the revelation above every revelation. It's finding who you really are.
Amen.
What was it? It wasn't that they, this is why we get terminology messed up sometimes, is the Holy Ghost could come on them. And the Bible would call that being filled with the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? He said Zacharias, before Jesus even came, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. It said that David said by the Spirit in the Psalms. So the Holy Ghost, the baptism, the action of God could come on a person, but it couldn't get in a person. And this is where people get confused with different quotes. You can receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost, that anointing of God on you, the true Spirit, and truly prophesy every day of your life and still go to hell. That's why Balaam did not make it. All right, that hit my hand. All right, I hope that makes sense. But when Brother Branham goes and he's talking about not just getting anointed, because he talks many times about Pentecostals that trusted in just that the Holy Ghost would come upon them, and they knew in that little measure at least to yield to it, maybe speak in tongues, maybe prophesy, and it hit right on. But yet deep down they had no conversion. They still wanted the things of the world just like anything else, just like a sinner. They were still not expressed sons. They were still servants.
Amen.
See, a servant and a son is really the difference between law and grace. A servant is under law, no matter what. Let's use the word that makes more sense, slave. A slave is under the law of their master. But the son, it doesn't work that way. He's got a father. He's got someone that invested into them.
Amen.
Oh, if you get this tonight, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't get beat by the devil. You can't, because you're not under his bondage anymore. Because, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem. Redeem means to buy back. Come on now. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The whole New Testament is before we were sons, but we could not be adopted. We could not express that what we really were. We had to be like the world. When they lusted, we did. When they couldn't get over alcohol, we couldn't get over it. And though we love God, what would it do? It brings under such a condemnation. That every year you've got to come and you offer another sacrifice and you walk out and you're just as frustrated as you were before. Amen. And yet we say, God, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go to these days and this day. This is the most glorious day there's ever been, because not only is the Holy Ghost given without exception. Come on now. It's we have the greatest revelation of who we are.
Amen.
That's ever hit the world. It's time to activate this. It's time to walk in this. Not walk as servants, walk as sons. You've got to get into that intimate, personal relationship with your Heavenly Father, or you can't operate as a son. You're operating in a dispensation that's been done away with. We're talking about the capping on the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let me read you a quote real quick. Brother Bram says this, and this is where I got my title. Now comes our triumphal capstone on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me make sure I clarify something here, and I hope this doesn't cause any stirring or anything. I just believe in preaching what's the truth, as simple as I can. Our first experience with God needs to be being born again of the Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, getting into your soul and quickening the seed of God that was always in you so you can begin to manifest. But what I'm about to preach tonight is the capping of that entire experience. Because though we're not children anymore, we are sons. We still learn. We still grow. And most people don't want to do that. They want to just be some. No, you've got to learn from Father. But that's the difference. You're not learning from a taskmaster that just tells you commands and you're afraid you get struck by lightning. You're learning from a father. Someone you live with, someone you go to the house and you don't knock, you walk in. Someone you got a key to the door. Someone that you could borrow the car maybe once in a while. Not the truck, though. Just the car. Hallelujah. He did let me drive it when he thought he was going to sell it, though. So I'll give him that. But the capstone is on the baptism. It's not the capstone of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because, and this is where I see a lot of confusion as well. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the beginning of our experience. Down in the soul. But yet we get filled. Alright, we get filled again. We get the same anointing. That's still the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everything we do ought to be by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not by our intellect. See, people think that intellectual believers are just smart. You know, that has nothing to do with being smart. It's depending on your intellect. That makes you intellectual. You can be the dumbest person in the world, but only trust your own thoughts. And you're an intellectual believer. You get the difference now. And it doesn't matter how smart, how dumb, how in between, how backwards. If you're trusting in your own mind and your own ability to comprehend logically, you're not to the point of revelation yet. You believe like the devil does. Like we talked about Satan's faith. He only can wrap his mind around so much of God that he couldn't even notice that God was standing right in front of him.
Sure.
When he was tempting him for 40 days. He couldn't figure out that was him because his intellectual revelation couldn't get to who he really was. And it didn't work for no Pharisees either. And don't you and me ever try to approach God intellectually. We approach God by faith.
Amen.
And faith is a substance. You can't make it up. You either really believe this and walk in it, or you just lie to yourself. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, God has recognized your faith. That's right. And He's quickened it so you can approach Him as a father. Oh my. And then even more so as a husband. Just like Queen Esther. Everyone else knew the commandment. If anybody goes in, we're dead. And they even tried to tell that to her. But yet she had a revelation that nobody else knew about. That's my husband. I know he's your king. And he's mine too. See, the denominations have recognized Jesus as Lord. And so do we. Yet, we have a revelation in us. I've got a little bit closer bond than what you all know about. And it ain't for me to share with you all either. And that's why God didn't send this to the denominations that turned it down. Come on. He sent it to those that would obey, to those that would listen. The gospel's always been that way. God will only go to the elect. That's what He's trying to get. And those that are happen to be around, you get to hear it too. But God is going for the elect.
Amen.
That's why this message came. Don't you sit here and believe this message and confess that you're going to be in the tribulation. No, listen to me now. Now, people, they try to be humble like that. Like, well, I'm just not good enough to be the bride, but I know I love the Lord. I believe I'll be saved in the end. You know, no. If you believe this, it came for you to be the bride.
Amen.
denominations got tribulation revelation. We're supposed to be beyond that. Right. And people fight and stew in the message. Well, I think the foolish virgin be this, and I'll be this. I do not care. I'm looking, where's the bride? Amen. Hallelujah. Because of Elijah's ministry, is still working the same in us. It's Eliezer trying to find a bride.
Amen.
Tell me who Eliezer else was even bothered with talking to. Why'd he talk to Rebecca's father? Just because he was trying to get Rebecca out of there. Why did God deal with where you were? Why did he deal with where I am? Why does he deal every day with this folk? How come this guy all of a sudden does this for you? Come on now. He's worried about you.
Amen.
You know, I love your children too, but there's just something different about my love for my children compared to yours. And God loves the whole world, but there's just something a little different about his children. Whoo! All right. Now she's a little nose. Now comes our triumphal capstone on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So Brother Branham quotes the scripture that I'm talking about, and he says this. There it is. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption. So make sure you understand that now. We need to wait to get redeemed. We've been redeemed.
Amen.
That's why this message was not a redemptive message. It was a restoration. Because it was always there. We just had to get back to realizing that it was already done. People think the message goes beyond Calvary when really it's the only thing that brings you back to it.
Amen.
That's right. Jesus came, died upon, accomplished redemption, restoring to original owner by means of purchase or paying the price, and thereby placed us as sons. Let me see. Well, you know why this works? Jesus died. Come on now. He resurrected. And where did he go? Where he was before. The right hand of the Father, right? Where were we when that happened? We were in him then. So when he raised, we already raised. So when he was adopted back, because look, he was adopted for his earthly ministry at River Jordan. He was adopted so they could see who he was going to be on Mount Transfiguration, but he came into full possession of heavens and earth when he stood on the throne.
Amen.
He said, I'm set down on my Father's throne.
Right.
And when he did, now we're going through the same process. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, adoption is another one of those things people get all confused about. That adopts us as sons. It does. It identifies. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's what I'm just reading right here. It identifies us as a son of God, yet we're still in this thing. So we need another adoption to get a new body. Hallelujah. And then we'll go to a marriage supper, but we'll come back for one more to rule as kings. Our final place of rest. The adoption of what we really were from the beginning. Glory to God. Thereby placed us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we were already his sons. But he placed us as sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. We were held captive by the devil, but we were sons nonetheless. And hear this, and because ye are sons. Now, I'm going to read that scripture the way most people think it goes. And because God gave me his spirit, I am now his son. But the truth of it is, no, because you were his son, God had to give you his spirit. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Not as many as believed were ordained. Those that were ordained that God knew in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, those are the ones that could believe. Hallelujah. Yes. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son. I'm just going to teach on that for a minute here. If we receive the spirit of his son, when do we get the spirit, the Holy Spirit then? If they're really two different people. When do I get the spirit of the Father then? How come the apostles only worried about the Holy Ghost when I'm supposed to have received the spirit of his son? Not the Holy Spirit, the spirit of the son. Your doctrine don't even get anywhere like that. It's nonsense. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Son, God's own Spirit, it's all the self-same Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. God has sent forth the Spirit of His sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Did you do that too when He came in? Oh, thank you, Papa God. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, than an heir of God. Let me read what Brother Branham says. He says, upon whom did the Spirit fall at Pentecost? Sons. At Corinth, upon sons, while they heard the word. That's right. And then he says what I've read before. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is the new birth. It is the Spirit of God coming in and filling you after you have repented, having heard the word and been baptized in water as an answer of a good conscience towards God. But before any of that, you were always His son. You were walking in the things of the world. And because you had representation, because God saw your name on the book, He couldn't leave you bound. Amen. And we think David stayed bound. No, why do you think he got resurrected? God paid and broke the chains, and they got out of that prison, and they could come back up. Glory to God. That's right. We think of the other ages. How come they couldn't believe what we do? Do you know we'll call forth the resurrection, and we'll break those chains.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Because the body goes from the top down. The first is last. The last is first. Glory to God. We'll resurrect that rest of the body. Why? Because the same word that's resurrecting me will resurrect the last stage, will resurrect the last one, and we'll all go to glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And this isn't just some little capstone. I'm trying about a triumphal capstone. And when was the battle won? Before it ever started.
Amen.
What faith that ought to put in the believer in this day? What faith that ought to put in you and to me? Why is what's happening today? It doesn't matter. What's going to happen tomorrow? It doesn't matter. The battle already won.
Amen.
And I already won it because I was in Him when He did it. And God placed me here to be His representative.
Yes.
Representative of what? Of His resurrection, which His resurrection was His victory. Because what was the devil's only thing he had on him? He still had the power of death. He could still sting him and kill him. But 3 days later, he lost some. He didn't have. He had those keys for a little while, didn't he? He got used to them keys. Said, nobody's going to take these from me. But when the Son of God got down there and made havoc of his place, that's right. He said, devil, come here. Give me them keys. And the devil's the biggest bully of them all. Once you get them cornered, they're a bunch of wimps. And that's exactly what he did. He was hiding. He was screaming. When the legion was, when he finally got exposed, remember? Don't torment us! Yeah, we go, oh, Mr. Devil, don't give me a headache today. Leave me alone, Mr. Devil. Don't make things hard. Can you go easy on me this Wednesday so I come to church? Oh, Mr. Devil, stop it. Stop it. That's how we act. You know why? You're acting like a servant. Under a taskmaster who tells you what to do, but not a Holy Ghost-filled believer.
Right.
Don't pay attention to none of that. Raise up.
Right.
Tell them who's really boss.
Amen.
He said, you're not being real humble doing that. I'm being just as humble as Jesus was.
Amen.
When he saw devils, he told them, go. He didn't have a 10-minute discussion with the devil. He told him what to do. The Bible told us to cast devils out.
Right.
Didn't say pray them out.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
So we beg and plead and we think all that. No, cast them out.
Right.
We pray to God. We talk about God. Sometimes we don't know His will and we want to. I don't care about the devil's will. Because I know God's will for him is for me to cast him out.
Right.
Hallelujah. I pray that gets your faith up where it ought to be. That we should never give our authority over to Satan. Never. And never does God expect us to do that out of like some sort of humility. You do that for your fellow man. That's right. You lay down your life for a sinner. Absolutely. They do you evil, don't do them evil back. Do good. That's the only way you ever convert anybody. That's right. You never convert anybody proving them wrong. I'll tell you. Just fighting doctrinally and go back and forth. Paul tried that a few times. And what did they do? They're trying to kill him, run him out of town, everything else. That's what eventually led him to say, you know what? We're going to the Gentiles. Sorry. I'm going to do what God told me was going to happen in the first place. How many knows that's what he said? He said, you're going to be a light to the Gentiles. But we know that he does what we did, Paul. And I'm not saying he's faulting him, because I'm not even faulting you too. We get it in our hearts who God wants us to witness to. Instead of doing what God said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. No, I just want to go to this part of the world and preach the gospel, where I know that maybe they'll respect me at least. That ain't the way it works. You preach it wherever you are. Because last I checked, we haven't got to every creature just yet. But we will. It has to. Amen. Now, before this, now, just to let you know, though we were always sons, sometimes we got a long road to go before we finally realize it. And I believe we get born again, and many Christians, the devil will come. What does he do? Brother Bram preached it. Spiritual amnesia. You forget what you used to know. But it doesn't matter in the scheme of predestination. You're still a son. It doesn't matter if the devil beats you. That's why we need to get up. Because it doesn't matter if he beat me down. God already accepted me. There's no reason to stay out of the inner court. Get back in the blood. Get back in that holies of holies where you ought to be. Because God made the way. And he already accepted you in. For you to stay out is death. Right? What would have happened? See, we all get afraid when we think of the high priest and how reverent he had to be to go in there. What if he decided, I'm too scared to go in there? You know what just happened? Nobody's getting saved now. And when you're too afraid to approach the God that redeemed you, how in the world are you going to help somebody else? Exposition, or Smyrna Church Age. A son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he is a son. Can you say amen? In fact, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was hatched under a hen. You know that the eagle is a type of the true believer. Well, a farmer took an egg from an eagle's nest and he placed it under a hen. And in due time, all the eggs under the hen hatched out. The baby chicks got along fine with the mother hen. But the little eagle just couldn't figure out what the clunking and scratching for food in the manure pile. He managed to make a living. Not like us. He managed to make a living, but he was pretty confused about it all. But one day, aren't you glad for that one day? The fullness of time came for you. One day God said, no more, devil. They're mine now. But one day, from way up in the air, the mother eagle that had laid, who put the seed in you before the foundation of the world. That's right. Laid egg, spied that little eagle on the ground. She swooped down with tremendous speed and screamed at the top of her voice for him to fly up. To meet her. He had never heard an eagle cry, but when he heard that first scream, something in him stirred, and he longed to launch out toward it. But remember, what did the mother eagle say? It didn't say, I'll come get you. It said, come up. Just like the Spirit said in Revelation 4, come up hither, come up higher. I'll show you things to come. See, there's something in the lat. There's something in you. Because you're not a chicken. The chicken can't do it. Don't compare yourself to them. They don't got any wings to get up. Don't look at nobody else, really. Don't even look at the other Christian. You know who you are. And you get looking at what God's revealed and you say, I'm an eagle. I'm an eagle. If God told me I can jump, I can get up there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
How? I don't know, but I'm going to try. Why? Because he said so. See, the eagle wasn't just presuming. He heard a scream. And he recognized it. He said, and told him what to do. Come up here.
Amen.
Now let me read, because this is what happens to most of us. But when he heard that first scream, something in him stirred, and he longed to launch out toward it, but he was afraid to try. Whew. Let that sink in. Again, that mother screamed for him to arise in the wind and follow her. He screamed back that he was afraid. Once more, she called out. See, you can try and try. God ain't going to give up on his elect. But I don't think the thing is to say, well, God understands I'm afraid. Yeah, he told you to quit it and trust him. Without faith, it's impossible. Faith and trust are pretty much the same concept. If you trust God, you'll have faith in God. You'll believe what God has said. And if God came swooping down and told you, jump up into heavenly places. Take this by faith. Take this promise. Get the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Get this blessing I've given you. Take this healing. And he screams it. But what about this one? Speak in tongues. Prophesy. Lay your hands on, they'll get well. Speak what I said.
Amen.
And we get, oh, but I'm afraid, Lord. He'll give you once or twice. But I don't know what would happen if the eagle never jumped. Might have grieved it away. But this eagle didn't do that. And neither will you and I, because we're predestinated.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. He screamed back that he was afraid. Once more, called out, screaming that he tried. Beating his... How he... We just started doing it. Some of you think, I don't know how to praise God. I don't know how to speak in tongues. I don't know how to do that. Just do it.
Amen.
How? I don't know. He said, do it. How am I going to preach the gospel of the world? I don't know, but he said, do it. So we're doing it. I like when Brother Bram talks, the eagle stirs his nest. And remember how he says the mama eagle grabs a little baby eagle, takes him up in the air and just drops him.
Right.
And you know what they do? He said they don't know how to fly, but they just get them wings flapping and they just trying to do all they can to get flying. Why? Because they're going to die if they don't try. Now mama's still watching. They get too close. Come get them. But guess what? You're going right back up and you're going to do it again. And you're going to go right back up. You're going to do it again. That trial you think you've never overcome, you might as well just go ahead and overcome it because it's coming again. And you're going back up and you're going to fall again until you learn to get them wings of faith going and overcome that thing, whatever it is. That's right. Hallelujah. Beating his wings, he hurled himself into the air and answering the cry of his mother, he soared off into the blue skies. You see, he always was an eagle. He acted like a chicken for a while, but he could not be satisfied. But when he heard the call of the great eagle, he came to his own place. And once a true son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the Word, he too will realize who he is and run to that great prophet eagle and be with him forever, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Bible talks about this. Let me just read it to you. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Didn't know you were son. Walking like a servant like all the rest of the world. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, remember that important end. Where are we? We've got to identify where we are. We are in Him.
Amen.
So wherever He is, I am.
That's right.
But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. Oh, you get worked up, you get distressed. Look at Christ. He's our peace. Said, it is finished.
Amen.
And he meant it. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That's right. Excuse me. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Who is that new man? It's Jesus Christ. He took the body of Christ. Look, that's why you've got to go back to Genesis. You've got to look at Adam. You've got to look at Eve. And you can begin to see that spoken word come to pass. That whatever God did in the beginning, He has to do again.
Amen.
He cannot change His way. So He took, and out of one man, it's still just one man. There's no other man to go find. There's not a second Adam somewhere. Come on now. I'm talking, oh, you understand. But as far as Adam himself, Eve wasn't a second Adam. She was Adam. And there's not another Christ floating. There's not another Jesus somewhere. She is Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And she was always in Him. She was always a son. She was always an eagle just like Him. Every attribute that surged through His body surges through you and me tonight.
Amen.
And when we get the realization, when God comes and quickens it by the Holy Ghost, now we can see. This is what I was. How in the world have I been preaching that long? Y'all pray for me. I did not mean to go that long already. And I'm like, man. We'll get somewhere, I promise. Whew, let me read you one more. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye that not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? How many knows that? The unrighteous cannot inherit. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. And we can go on and on and on. Extortioners, shall none of these shall enter the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Hallelujah. We go a long time thinking we're a chicken. I don't care if a man's 80 years old, if he's got breath in his lungs, that could be a son of God been caged up for 80 years. That's right. Brother Bram even said it this way. God can frame a whole man's life for 5 minutes of service. And still get just as much glory as the person that used their whole life for him. You know why? Because he's the one who gets to decide. He's the one who says, you 11th hour worker, here you go. You get the same dollar the guy that started first hour does. You know why? Because he's the boss. And the bride knows that. But she also's got a revelation that he's not a bully. He's just allowed to do what he wants to. And we've got enough faith in him that however God establishes his kingdom is the way it needs to be. I know I you probably deal with this too. I don't know. But sometimes you think ahead and you think of the millennium and the new world and you're just like, how is this going to work? How does this make sense? Even eternity and these concepts you just can't wrap your mind around. You think, how does it work? How does it do this? But see, that's not, don't use intellect. The devil will get you right on some trail. You'll be just scared to the snot of everything. That's right. It'll make you afraid of the presence of God because you don't understand it. You're right, you can't. But see, the faith in you, yield to that. You know, eternity isn't a day, it's just one day. It's just it just never stops. You know, there's no more time like we think of it now, and I just want that. I hate time. I hate time. I hate that I'm getting tired tonight. I hate that I gotta get up in the morning. I just want it to be today. I do too. Don't you want to go to bed at night? No, I just want to be awake. I just want to praise the Lord. I want to be rested without having to go to bed. That's right. Hallelujah. Such were some of you. Were. You used to be a child. Now the Holy Ghost has come. And He's made us a son. Now remember, the son in the Bible is not how we think of son. Just because somebody is your offspring in the Bible doesn't make you a son. You're a child. But when the Bible says a son is a man that has grown and could do what his father does. So when God gave us the Holy Ghost, we could do what God does. Amen. You know why? Because God is still doing it. Amen. Through you and me. Amen. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, where's our assurance lie? This is where the message has restored us back to that you can't find denomination. You can't find in Pentecostal movements. You can't find in oneness, Trinitarian. I don't care where you go. You won't find the assurance that your soul's longing after outside of this message. Why? It shows us where it was. It was always in Him. Yeah. Ephesians 1 says this, and you might know the scripture pretty. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us. See, your adoption was not something just happened to come to be one day. Just as much as, Boaz and Ruth. She just happened upon the field of Boaz. No. You don't find just a bunch of farmers out there and happen on the one that happens to be your father or your mother's cousin and redeems you back into the tribe of Israel. Okay, that don't happen that way. And you don't just stumble upon the message. You didn't just fall into this to just be a foolish virgin. You came this because God was looking for you the whole time. Amen. Because you were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Back in Him. Yes. According to the good pleasure of His will. Those that were born, not even by you and me's will, by the will of God. Amen. And I'm pretty sure whatever God has willed, He has done. And if God's will was to save me, I'm going to be saved. If it's God's will to fill me, I'm going to be filled. If it was God's will to adopt me from the foundation of the world, I will be, and I have.
Amen.
The good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Who's the beloved? This is my beloved son. And that's where we are.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. If you read a few verses before that, you know what he's telling the Christians to do? Love one another. Live for one another. Why? Let this mind, let all the actions that you've ever read of Jesus, let this be your example. And Paul walked it to where he could say, look, follow me as I follow Christ. And every Holy Ghost-filled person, if somebody else is trying to find God, you ought to be their example to follow until they can get it themselves. And even God, he follows. We all have that. You know, I'm not saying Paul didn't mean what he said. He meant to follow him. Why? He was a messenger of the age. I believe that's what he was getting at. Same with Brother Branham. When he said, if you don't understand it, just take my word for it.
Right.
I'll be accountable.
Right.
You one of these other people to say something like that. Put it on my charge. Why? It wasn't Brother Branham saying that. That was God saying that. And when God has said something, it's just like this. 1 Timothy 2:19, if you need an encouragement, go read it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yes, amen.
Whew, glory to God. Got a little bit more in you?
Amen.
Now, if I got enough in me, we'll get somewhere. If you ever read in John 14, I just want to just kind of paraphrase it. Go look it up later. But Jesus is telling his disciples, you know, he's about to go and things. And he says, I'll pray to the Father. He'll send you another comforter. He'll lead and guide you in all truth. He said, I won't leave you comfortless either. I'll come to you. And he says, later, if you love me, you'll be loved of my Father. And we will both come and manifest ourselves to you. And I tell you what, I never can understand how a Trinitarian can put that together. Like, when do I get the Holy Ghost? When do I get Jesus? When do I get both Jesus and the Father? And nobody, and you go ask them, I dare you. Get ready, because they won't have an answer. And you'll just be mad. But, like, why do you believe this then? You know why? Because they ain't predestinated. It's not going to make sense. And I'll tell you what, Brother Branham said this, and I used to not think it'd be this bad. But he said, if Pentecost goes on the way it is now, this was 50 years ago, they'll be worse than the Roman Catholics. And I believe they are. Because at least the Catholics try a little bit to kind of twist some scripture to work out what they believe. Pentecostal will say, well, this guy back here had this vision of something and we believe it because of that. Kenneth Hagin said this and that's why we believe it. No scriptural foundation at all for this stuff. But anyways, you read there, you'll find it's very confusing until what Brother Branham says here. Let me just read it to you. Thus, he's quoting from the same scripture. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all coming in at one time, for it is one person comprising the Godhead. Okay? That advent took place at Pentecost. So when you read the Holy Ghost, it's the exact same thing that happened at Pentecost. Not an anointing of the Holy Ghost, but literally the quickening power that brought God back out of the human soul that he could express sonship again. Amen. It took place at Pentecost. There aren't two comings of the Spirit, just one. The trouble is people don't know the real truth and they simply believe in Jesus for the remission of sin but never go on to receive the Spirit. If you find yourself in that case, you need to listen to the last service, not what I'm preaching tonight. That if you ain't got no foundation, don't put a capstone on. I'll say that right now. Don't try to put this revelation if you ain't sure you got the Holy Ghost yet. That's right. If you are true seed, can you say amen? You will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you. Remember what we said on Sunday. The Holy Ghost comes once, and it's both life and power. You can't pick or choose. You can't say, oh yeah, I've got salvation, never have faith for nothing, no power of God. And you can't just say you got power of God and ain't got no life of Christ, nowhere to be found. It's either all or nothing. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, if you're predestinated, it will do this. It has to. Excuse me. Empowering you. And you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear the true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you. Let me skip down. he keeps saying this. Now we have been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives. Amen. And when you really receive, look, you can't, we said, not mentally, not just say it, it will manifest itself. And the word for this age is sons of God.
Amen.
For this age, that's really the triumphal capstone, is recognized sonship.
Amen.
Where you wake up, I'm a son of God. I am commissioned by God to conquer the devil. I am here in the place of God in the real real working of the word. That's why I totally tell you, the Catholics, they, if you break it down, the terminology actually kind of works out, but they don't have any revelation to make it work. So instead of the vicar, you know, they make the Pope that instead of God. Instead of being a Holy Ghost-filled man that doesn't have his own thoughts coming, they got some pervert that's up there doing who knows what when nobody's watching, and they're out, you know, killing bastard children and ransacking countries for money and all kinds of nonsense. Why? Because they don't have a revelation. They're using the terminology without revelation. Mm-hmm. Don't let that get in you. Well, I've heard from my theophany. Well, is it doing anything? And why are you telling me you're still lost if you heard from your theophany?
Amen.
Why are you still trying to get saved this week if you've heard from your theophany? Why are you looking for a word of a day to come when the Holy Ghost evidence is accepting the word that has come?
Amen.
Amen. It's very simple, isn't it?
Right.
Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. In every age, it was the same cry. Hear what the Spirit says. If you are a Christian, you will get back to what the Spirit is teaching. That is the word of this age. Every messenger to every age will preach that word. Every fresh and true revival will be because men have gotten back to the word for their age. The cry of every age is the rebuke. You have left the word of God. Repent and come back to the word. From the first book in the Bible, Genesis, to the last book, Revelation, there is only one reason for God's displeasure. Can we make this an absolute in our lives? There's only one reason God would be displeased with you and me. You ready to hear what it is? I am. Thank you, brother. There's only one reason for God's displeasure. Leaving the word. And there's only one remedy. Not fasting and praying. It's not doing a bunch of good works. It's not building yourself up because you're such a good person now. Now you can come back. There's only one remedy to regain his favor. Back to the word. Back to what God has said in this age. When you tell yourself you're not a son of God, you leave the word if you've received the Holy Ghost. And there's nothing God can do. He's displeased with that. Why? It's not faith. It's doubt. It's confusion. Why is it confusion? How could God give you the Holy Ghost if you were never his son in the first place? And he didn't just baptize you one day and you felt good. I'm talking about people that know something happened to me. Something happened. I walked a long time not knowing I was a son of God, but something happened. Still like, I don't want nothing to do with it. And really what I am now is what I want to be. Do I got more trials than I ever had? Yep. Can I get more frustrated than I ever was? Yeah, because before when you're in the devil's hands, you know, you don't want to beat a slave too much. They won't work good for you. You got to give them a little bit of treats here and there to keep them going, right? Well, see, now that you're out of there. Oh man, he don't care. He plays dirty. We think the devil plays by rules. No, he don't play by rules. He does whatever God lets him do. He'll do it. That's right. Now here's our faith. God allowed him. God let, you know, that brother get that spirit on him on that day, which was the worst day it ever could have been for you. And we'll go blame them, and we'll blame the church. We'll blame the pastor for not preaching. Oh, that out. But if it's my sin, he shouldn't say nothing about it.
That's right.
I've seen that spirit too many times. Either we want all of it or we don't want any of it. I hope you got enough faith to know I don't just preach on stuff because I see somebody. I preach on something because I see someone else called the devil. And when I see his unbelief trying to get in, and sometimes it is in sinful things, you know, lust and pride and things like that. But a lot of times in the message, it's just plain unbelief. You just won't believe the word for yourself. You believe it for somebody else. I've watched people, man, you got faith in somebody else, Holy Ghost, 10 times yours. That doesn't help you. That's not going to get you your mountain, Caleb.
Amen.
That's not a very good triumph. You're supposed to be rejoicing because of a victory.
Amen.
God opened our eyes.
Yes.
And if He's shown us, let us see it clearer than ever. That this mountain we see in front of us, it's not there. It's an illusion of the devil because Satan or Jesus Christ has already whipped the devil and all his devices. Everything that stood between you and being a son of God was abolished.
Amen.
We walked in amnesia. We didn't have a real chain. Do you understand that? When we were under taskmasters, they weren't really there. We were under a delusion.
Yes.
We believed they were there. And our reality was just from our perception, but it wasn't really reality. You know, our experience with God is more real than this. Do you know our predestination of God is more real than this thing I'm doing right now? Faith is more real than anything you can see right now. And I can't help but believe that there's got to be that quickening. We've got to get back to this Word. We've got to get back to believing it and applying it for ourselves. That's the only way we'll see that revival in the bride. It's here. It's accessible. You don't got to go find it. It's the Word.
Amen.
Get back to the Word. I am a son.
Yes.
I am a daughter.
Amen.
I was predestinated.
Amen.
I have been quickened.
Amen.
I'm not dead. I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
I'm not on earth. I'm in heavenly places.
Right.
You might think I'm crazy, but I'm in heavenly places. I'm where all things are possible. Why? Because I believe it. And that's all it takes. It's an atmosphere of faith. And we grow and we live in that. And the more you live in it, the better you get used to it. The more you learn that the devil's just trying to get you away from that. And however he can do it, it's fine. If he can take a quote and twist it and get you to disbelief, he'll do that. If he has to take a pretty woman to get you to think, oh man, I looked twice at one time, even though I repented 50,000 times now, that still ain't no good to go back. God gave you the Holy Ghost, brother. That doesn't mean you're free from temptation, but you have power to overcome.
Amen.
You can choose not to, but I'm here to tell you, you don't want to do that. You'll reap down the road, but you're still a son of God.
Amen.
Your conversion is the start, but the triumph is finally having that revelation.
Amen.
I am a son. I always was a son.
Sure.
I will always be a son. And I don't have a taskmaster. I don't have a Lord outside of Jesus Christ. And I love that man. And that man loves me. Do you love Jesus Christ tonight? Can you say amen with all your heart? You love him? What did the Bible say then? We love him because he first loved us. Let's stand together tonight. Now that wasn't no baby milk. That's for the believer. Hallelujah. God, help us. Help us to look to Him. Help us to find ourselves. When we look at Him, what do you see? Do you see yourself there? Or is He way over there and you're here still? Or have you got the revelation that wherever He is, wherever, like Jesus said, wherever I am, there will my servant be. There we are. We were always in Him. Redemption's been paid. The blinders have been taken off because the Holy Ghost has come. And all the theology that we filled our minds with, well, I thought the baptism was this and this and this, this message. I hope even tonight, just these quotes I pulled out of here will show you where it was at the whole time. See, the natural mind can't see what the prophet did. But the same spirit that was in the prophet gets into us. And as the Church Age book said, it'll take a people with prophetic insight and the ability to hear from God. This what this message says. Have you heard your theophany tonight? Have you heard the word for your age? Well, then it's time to live it. I just want to praise Him. See, I believe in doing altar calls when I feel led to. I just feel like praising Him tonight. Can we do that? Go ahead, start worshiping Him. Thank you, Father. We're just all believers here. Don't worry about your neighbor. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name.
Just
oh, aren't you happy? Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Christian friend, which I believe we all are here, if you feel distance from God, take what I just said a minute ago. Get back to the Word. Don't try to do something else. If you know there's something, you know the Holy Ghost has already shown you what it is. You don't need me to say, you don't need me to call out your sins. He already did it for you. He already told you what to quit listening to. Come on. He told you what to quit watching, brother, sister. He told you what to get back to reading. Get back to praying. Amen. And once you've done all you can do, rest in His presence. Rest in His promise. It's a finished work. So I don't see this and I don't see that. It ain't up to you to see it. What does God see? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. How happy I am that He chose me. Thank you. Let's sing it together.
Oh, I love Him. Oh, I love Him because He first loved me.
That shut-in place where it's you and Him. Don't be afraid to talk to Him. He's got ears wide open. To the point where He said, before you even ask, I've already heard you. I've already answered it. But He still loves to hear you say it. If you backslid tonight, just come back. You don't need to wait on Brother Andrew to say some fancy thing. God knows your heart. If you're coming back with all your heart. Go in that Shekinah glory. Say, Lord, I'm dropping it all back out the door. I'm not bringing that trash in here no more. Hallelujah. Purify me, Lord. Remember, your predestination's why we're saved. The blood keeps us clean. Continually washes us. So that way God doesn't judge us like we deserve. tonight, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's between you and Him. You've been led how to do this. No one else can give it to you. I can't give it to you. Your mama can't give it to you. Your daddy can't give it to you. You know, spiritual brother so-and-so can't give it to you. Brother Branham can't give it to you. Only God can give it to you. But I give you this consolation. He wants you to have it more than you want to give. Find that place tonight. Don't let the devil take your experience away from you. Don't let him take your joy away, your peace. Don't go back to unbelief. Stay in faith, brother, sister. You stay right there. Keep serving Him. Keep loving Him. You ain't gonna miss it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit's moving. Don't you wait for some big thing. That's the Spirit of God right next to you, taking that thing off. What more do you want? You want to be healed physically, or would you rather have your soul cleaned out? I'm happy for what He does. He does heal us every time, doesn't He? But Lord, get down to the core. Don't let there be any blackness in me. You got to make it right? Go make it right, brother, sister. Don't let that thing haunt you. It's stupid. It's foolish. Humble yourself and make it right. Thank you, Lord God. I love seeing Him work. We live in a day now. I've been around a little bit. You know how hard it is to get people to be as sincere as what you are right now? How happy you should be that you got a soft heart towards God. That you're not too saved for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let Him sweep over your soul. Let faith continue to rise. Let every doubt fall off. Recognize your sonship. Recognize that you always were what in your heart you wanted to be. That's who you are. Thank you, Jesus. You gain a new power every day. As you receive the Word, which I believe you have tonight, I haven't felt no rejection of the Word. You've been receiving the Word. As you receive that Word, you're becoming that Word. You're taking those nutrients. It's going into that seed, and it begins to grow and grow and grow. It'll push out nine spiritual fruits, nine spiritual gifts. It's the bride tree, and she's here. And it's you and me. Thank you, Lord God. Praise Him now. Thank Him for it. I don't need to lay hands on you. You believe this. You already believe this. If you need me to help you, you believe what I've preached. Now just accept it. Don't wait for some outward sign. Just accept it. It's there. Raise up in faith. Start praising for it. You're not in bondage. You're free. You don't have to go back. Thank you, Lord. Your littlest desire, God hears it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just think on the Word. Think being the Word. That's what you are, child. Sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yield yourself to the Spirit now. Thank you, Lord. Commit your life to Him. Say, Lord, I present my life a living sacrifice. Use it for Your glory. And start right here. Oh, praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise You, Jesus. If you need healing, just reach up and grab it right now. Don't leave sick no more. Don't leave hurt. God's giving us a promise. I want you to prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Redemption's here tonight. Proving Himself the same. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Just worship Him any way you feel. You can sing, you can praise, you wave your hands. You can pray, you can cry. Just worship Jesus.